But you know, those are the hardest ones. It's the same sugya that we've been learning for the past 2 weeks, 3 weeks. The same sugya of Sumei Rava, say Tov, the icy is changing, peeling away the external Ra and finding the Tov, which is the Yisod of all Torahs of Hashem. And now, in this tiny little Torah, which is hard to understand, but the Baal Shem Tov tells us the same thing regarding our machshavas, binyan machshavas. One of the themes that the Baal Shem Tov comes back to very often, and in the early swarm of the early Talmud Baal Shem, it's a very important topic. Was the machshavas that fall into a person's head. The Baal Shem Tov was not talking about somebody who is intentionally seeking to have machshavas that are not proper. He's not talking about somebody that's, you know, watching a show or reading a magazine. You understand? He's talking about a person who's doing his best to be an Erlich Yid, and he's guarding himself to the best of his ability to think in a proper and clean and holy way. And he tries to have kavana by davening, tries to do the right thing. But ben kach, what happens is that there are machshavas that fall into a person's head. The machshavas that fall into the mind. Now the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh saw these machshavas as an opportunity to be misakin, to fix something. That these are machshavas that were sent to him because he has the ability to grapple with them and to lift them up to a higher place. Subsequently, once we got to the third generation of Chassidus, there already the Baal Tanya writes very strongly in Tanya, how people such as ourselves, he wasn't talking about himself, he's talking about us, people such as ourselves have to be very, very careful not to be Isaac in these kind of things, and that when we have a machshava that's inappropriate, the avoid is get out, just run. What we see by the Baal Shem Tov is that if a person has a machshava, let's say, God forbid, there's a thought of something inappropriate, a man, a woman, something like that. Since that comes from the midah of chesed, of ahava, right, of love, that has fallen into the klipas, into an ugly place, because that inyan of a man and a woman is from that world of ahava, of love, and of chesed, and of trying to connect. Presently, in this thought, it's wearing garments that are not nice, right? It's not nice. So, the Baal Shem Tov spoke a great deal about how this is a chesed opportunity, an ahava opportunity, because this is the midah of ahava, of chesed, that has fallen into the klipas. It means that Hashem is giving me an opportunity to be Isaac in a very exalted type of Avodas Hashem, which is to take something from a low place that fell into the klipas, into the sitracha, and to redeem it, to elevate it, to liberate it, and to bring it into the world of Kedusha, to lift it up into the world of Kedusha. But the Tanya said that this is an Esek of Tzaddikim. We're no longer in such a place. Now our inyan is not to try to peel away the external layer of such a machshava, but to leave it, to delete it. Not to fix it, but to delete it. The Tzaddikim spent a great deal of time and energy with these kind of things. Not just, I gave an example of that type of a machshava. But could it be a machshava in gvura, being afraid of something? Or a machshava of teferis, of having a little feeling of gaiva, of feeling of conceit? In other words, where the mid of teferis, the mid of teferis of pride, and teferis is mislabesh in a thought of some sort of arrogance or conceit. So the tzaddikim are very much Isaac in these things, to take these machshavas and to lift them up. So first of all, it's only talking about a person whose mind, the Tani says, whose mind is to begin with exceptionally pure and clean. So that if such a machshava falls into his mind, it fell into his mind. Not that he sent an invitation, and not that he wants it, and not that he does things to bring upon himself such machshavas. So that itself is already a big madrega. And then on top of that, this person's entire essence is l'shem shemayim, and therefore it can be safely assumed that this is something that was packaged and sent him by Kadosh Baruch Hu. It was not his fault at all. And Hashem sent him a machshava that's a fallen midah, one of the midahs of Chesed, Gvur, Teferes, Netzach that has fallen. And Hashem knows his tzaddikim, and that this tzaddik is going to lift up that machshava and to bring about some remarkable thing in the higher world. This is the meaning of Tikkun HaMachshavas and Halos HaMachshavas. The Tanya wrote very strongly that we have to be careful with these inyan. But the yesod of how to look at life and how to look at the world is 1,000% for us. It's just this inyan of Machshavas we have to be very careful with. So the Baal Shem Tov says, Be'inyan HaMachshavas, Yesh Kama Minyan HaMachshavas Tayfun Veroim. When it comes to machshavas that drop into a person's head, there are machshavas taivim viroyim. There are all types of machshavas. There are wonderful thoughts that come into a person's mind. And there are machshavas that are not wonderful that come to a person's mind. Still, one should know that a besoich sheker yesh emes. That even in a machshava that is not a good machshava, it's a machshava that comes from the other side, from the world of sheker, from the enemy, so to speak, that even there must be some truth. So sheker yesh emes. That in that sheker there must be some truth, or else that machshava couldn't be there, and the machshava would not have come into your head seeking redemption again. In that avodah of the tzaddikim, as far as we're concerned, as well, a person should know that when it comes to a choice between being optimistic or pessimistic, the Baal Shem Tov always opted for optimism. And the reason for that, aside from the fact that it's a much more pleasant life, is that the pnimius of every machshava, the inner core of every thought, of everything that happens in the world, is a locus. It's a locus. And why should I attach myself to the sheker? Why should I connect to the evil, to the sheker, to the depressing, discouraging, pessimistic exterior? If I could try to extract from this particular thought or this moment of my life or whatever it is that I'm going through, I could extract something which is good, which is positive, which is holy. Because it must be that the nekudah hapnim is the inner point and core of this machshava, of this thought, or this maisa that I'm in. It must be that it's elokus, that it's emes. Ubesach sheker yesh emes. And then he says in with the gematria that different tzaddikim have tried to tackle, like what's the inyan with this gematria? But the tzaddik says kimispa sheker. It's tafresh, because the gematria of sheker is 600. Ubo muvla emes, and inside the 600 is absorbed or is contained the word emes, which is the gematria tafmem aleph, 441. The havain, and then he leaves us with this and says, and understand this. You know, when it comes to gematrias, so when you when you when you uh, when we saw that the Baal Shem Tov brought to the gematria of Sheker Tafresh, we thought that it's going to have something spectacular, some number that's going to really impress us with the counter force of Emes versus Sheker. But all the Baal Shem Tov says is that, well, since Sheker is 600 and Emes is 441, that means that the Sheker already contains the Emes. But there's no particular. The Baal Shem Tov doesn't tell us what particular significance is there in this, not in these, either of these numbers. The fact that 441 is part of 600, it would also be true if it was any number less than 600. It could have been 599, right? It could have been 2. It could have been 10. It could have been 20. All of those are part of Sheker. All of those are inside of Sheker. So he doesn't say to us, what's the significance of 441? Like I remember, I once mentioned this to you. I remember we had one of our chaverim who was married, one of the first guys from our chaver that got married. So his name was Ari. He's a great guy, Aaron. And he married a girl, her name is Zahava. So at the Shevrach, one of the chaver got up and made a drasha. And all he said was that the gematria of Aaron is whatever, 200 and whatever. And the gematria of Zahava is very little, right? Zahava is, it's very little, whatever it is, 15, whatever. And we learned from here that Ari wins. And then he sat down. That Ari is 200 and something. Zahava is only 15. So the gematria teaches us that Ari wins. That was the drush. So what does it mean that the Baal Shem Tov is saying to us that 600, which is Sheker, contains within it 441 emes? So there are some suggestions that are made. We'll see in one of the notes from the Minchas Elazar, we'll see a suggestion over here. Let's read the parish a little bit. Binyan machshavas hanoflas b'mayach ha'adam. The machshavas that are not invited, the machshavas that just fall into a person's head. Binyan machshavas hanoflas b'mayach ha'adam. Yesh ladas ki omnam, yesh kama minyan machshavas taivim v'royim. Listen, it happens to all kinds of thoughts that fall in. They're good and bad. Of a b'emes gam b'soich machshava ra u'shlilis, still one should know that inside a negative, a negative thought, yesh nitzaitz shel toiv u'kedusha. There must be a spark of toiv and kedusha. There must be. That's the whole inyan of how the world was made, and Shiras HaKelim, and from the spheres of Chesed Gvur Tiferes, from those spheres of the world of Tohu, and the Shiras HaKelim, so that fell down into the Klipas, without going to the whole story that took place. In everything that's bad, there is something that's good. That's the Messias of our world. That's the Messias. That's how Hashem Zbuch made our world. And therefore, Besach Sheker Yesh Emes. Ki Mispar Gematria Shal Sheker is 600. Tafresh. Ubay Muvla Emes. And contained in the 600. Meaning, inside the Sheker, there's Emes. So inside the 600, there's Emes, which is 441. Heshagam Besach HaSheker. So we see that even inside the Sheker of that Machshava Ra, Muvla, so Tmuna Emes, it was contained truth, Toiv Ukedusha. Okay, that's the Yisod that we've been talking about. Now, what about these numbers? So look at footnote 2. Re'ei b'sefer divrei Torah mahadura tes, ois nud beis. That's from the Minchas Elazar, Susilin, the Munkat Shirav. Shehefresh b'minyin emes l'minyin shek. Now, the Minchas Elazar is saying, look, it seems as if the Baal Shem Tov is pointing us into the direction of subtracting the MS from Sheker, to find the differential over here, that one is 600, the other is 441. So if we want to get to the bottom of what the Baal Shem Tov is telling us, subtract 441 from 600. Because the Baal Shem is saying is that MS is muvla, is contained within the 600. So then we need to separate them. and to try to identify the emes, peeling away the sheker. So we subtract 441 from 600. So that's what the Minchas Lazer does. He says, Sha'a hefresh ben minyan emes, the minyan sheker, is kuf nun tes. So the difference is kuf nun tes. 159 is the difference. Kaminyan katan. Kuf nun tes, the difference between sheker and emes is the gematria katan. Katan. Small. Katan. A child. Katnas. Ubiya yisoidze. As Loshen HaKosov, so the Minchas Lozer explains the Pasek in Navi in Amos, Mi Yokum Yaakov Ki Katan Hu. Mi Yokum Yaakov Ki Katan Hu means that we're all crying out that Hashem should bring about the redemption, the Geula of the Jewish people of Yaakov, Ki Katan Hu, because he is a katan. Now, the simple way that's usually explained is that it's Rachmanis, there are billions of goyim, and a significant percentage of them don't like us, and the Jewish people are a tiny, tiny little nation in the world, and we're begging Hashem to redeem Katan, Yaakov Avinu, who's the Katan, who's the small one, from amongst the nations, the powerful nations. That's the simple pshat and how that pasuk is explained. But the Minchas Lozer says a very deep thing based upon this gematria of the Baal Shem. He says, Miyokim Yaakov ki katan hu, shekavonehi levakesh al geulas Yaakov. Yaakov shemidoso hi midas ha-emes. Everybody knows that the mida of Yaakov Avinu is emes, titen emes li Yaakov. Yaakov is the mida of emes. The world is a world that's filled with sheker. Therefore, it's very hard to find the katan. Truth is very small in this world. It's very, very hard to find the truth because we're surrounded by sheker. It's an alma de shikra, an alma de pirud. It's a world where falsehood is very, very, is very large. Sheker is very big in this world. And if you want to be an Eved Hashem, it means that your job in this world is to sort through all of the sheker, which is huge, and to be able to find that small little spark of truth in this world. Minchas Lozer said that's hinted at in the pasuk Mi Yokum Yaakov Ki Katan Hu. Who can find? Who can raise up? Who can detect? Who can lift up Yaakov? Yaakov is truth. Ki katan hu, because it's so tiny. Ki katan hu. Shakavan hi levakesh agulas Yaakov. It doesn't only mean to daven for the ultimate redemption of Mashiach. Of course that's true. Miyokum Yaakov ki katan hu. It could have just as easily said, Miyokum David. Since David is Mashiach, it would have been fine to say that. Miyokum Yaakov ki katan hu, the Navi is talking about a way of life, not just the ultimate redemption and return to Yerushalayim. The Navi is talking about every moment of life. Miyokum Yaakov ki katan hu. Am I looking for Yaakov right now in my life? In other words, am I looking for the truth? Because the sheker, the lie, the falsehood is glaring. Is strong. It surrounds me. It's all over the place. My job in this world is to look for the little one, the cotton. The cotton is Yaakov. Yaakov means the truth, because the truth is tiny in this world. Miyokim Yaakov ki cotton. Shakavana hi levakesh al gulas Yaakov. Shimidoso hi midas emes. And the Minchas Lozer says, Kevan. Because right now, if you look at yourself, honestly, you'll see that you are small and far from the truth in your life, and you are disconnected and detached from Yaakov. Asher hefresh beinu levein mispa sheker who cut in kiniska v'havein. Because the Baal Shem Tov taught, Michas Loza says, the Baal Shem Tov taught that the difference between sheker and emes is cotton. The difference between sheker and emes is cotton. So what the Michas Loza is saying is that our job in life is to find that difference between sheker and emes. Sheker is huge, 600. It was 600 in general is a number that implies multiplication and a large number. Shishim Ribay, 600, 600,000. The Maral speaks about this in Tiferes Yisrael, in Gevurah Hashem. So within that 600, which appears to be big, huge, something that I can't contend with, there is the cotton, which is the difference between sheker and emes. My job is to find that difference, which is cotton, which is small. And that's to look for Yaakov Avinu. And to have in mind, mi yokum Yaakov ki cotton hu. That I have to lift up Yaakov, and it's hard, because cotton hu, it's small. It's small. It's that gematria cotton, which is the difference between sheker and emes. But the good news is that Yaakov is there. The truth is there. It's small. It's hard to find. But Yaakov Avinu is hidden within the sheker. The Yaakov is there within the sheker. The emes of Titan Emes Yaakov is there within the sheker. One more remez as far as the gematria is concerned on the bottom over there. So he says, "V'yesh other remazim." There are other remazim. Is ever shamtais ata gamzais the miskaris. The Minchas Loza said that there are other remazim. I just brought this one remez. But Baal Shem Tov Alatayra, in the Sefer Baal Shem Tov Alatayra, Mishpatim Ha'aretz, Pirush Oisius Tuf Mem Aleph B'Milui. There is in the footnotes. In the Sefer Baal Shem Tov Torah, where this Torah is brought, he says that the Oisius Tuf Mem Aleph. If you take those letters of Emes and you spell them out b'milui, in other words, Tuf Mem Aleph, the way it's in the parentheses, and you add the Tosefes Minyan Oisius at Teva Atzman, you add the Kailo, which is the three words, comes out to the gematria, tof resh, which is communion sheker. The Ramesh Shebesoich HaSheker Muvlas HaEmes. Which means the following. Every letter in the Aleph Beis is a gematria, like Aleph is one. But Aleph also has a hidden agenda, a hidden gematria, right? Aleph has the gematria of Aleph, Lamed, and an Endefe, right? It has the hidden gematria of the milui of that letter. Beis is two. Two is a little number, two. But the Beis has in it, Beis, Yud, Saf. The milui, when you spell out the letter Beis, Gimel, Yud, Mem, Lamed. The Gemara Menachos makes a big deal about the Milui Oisius, and it's a very big subject in this farm. When the letters are filled and they're fully activated. So in that way, when we take the gematria of Emes, it equals Sheker with the Koilo, which makes it even stronger, with the three letters, the number which is three. It equals the gematria of Sheker. So what that means is that in a hidden way, if you enter into the fullness of, if you're seeking the fullness of truth, it will be able to contend with the Sheker. Then the gematria is equal. That means you have to go to the milui of the Isis when the letters are full in the word Emes. when the letters are full, Aleph, Tav, Mem, then the 441 becomes 600. So then, if you're such a person, then you'll live in a world where in your eyes, from your perspective, Sheker is not bigger than Emes. Sheker is not bigger than Emes. But you have to be a Jew that's in that that's connected to the milui of Emes, that is looking for the like that said, like they say, you know, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I think that's what the, I don't know if in the courtroom they still, the judge makes the person say that, but the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth is, because they know that most of the judges, when they say truth, it doesn't mean the whole truth, and it doesn't mean nothing but the truth, it just means a little bit of truth. But we mean the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And when a person is, when a person is in that place of the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, then sheker means nothing. There's no such thing as sheker. Sheker disappears. Okay. Weiter. Ein Gimel. It's a muscle from the Baal Shem Tov. B'inyan muscle shohay l'malach shloisha oyhavim. The king had three people who were oyhavim, who loved him, three people that were close to him. Vidibru alayim sheinam oyhavim. And as is often the case, there were people, other ministers and guys in the government, in the Malchus, who were jealous of these three guys because the king, they were close to the king. So they went and they said things to the king. Dibru alayim sheinam oyhavim. They went to tell the king that these three guys don't really love you. These three guys, they're phonies, they're fakes, they're not really loyal to you, and so on. This is stuff that was going on in palaces and courts all the time. But Sivalahem, so the king wanted to check out these guys, to check out these three guys, to test them to see, what's the story with them. But Sivalahem is some of the strange marshal. You know that the President of the United States, every President of the United States has a presidential pet. I think, I don't know if it's Davka, a dog, but I think there's a dog. And maybe I'm wrong, maybe not every president, but I do remember there was such an inyan of a presidential dog. Very often, the president himself is just a dog. But every president has, I think, maybe I'm wrong, you could Google this in a second, it could be just one of those presidents, I don't remember who it was, that had a dog that he was always going with, I don't know. But I remember such an inyan. So there's a presidential dog. I don't know how the dog gets to be so choshev and how he was promoted to being the president or what he did to become the president. So this king in our marshal, he had a dog. There's a kelev b'chatzar melech. There was a kelev, that there was a dog that was part of the courtyard of the king. And the king commanded these three guys to take care, or maybe they had different turns, to take care of the dog, to feed the dog, shiazunu v'yafanesu, to take care of the dog, to feed it, to take for a walk, whatever the dog needed, to take care of it. Echad hayachacham. So let's see now how these three guys, each one, handled this assignment. Echad hayachacham. The one who was a chacham. Now the king gave a budget to each of the guys, when it was their turn, he gave them a budget to take care of the dog. So the Chacham took this money, and what he did was he took this money and he spent it to make a crown for the king. The money that was given to him to take care of the parnasa of the dog, the Chacham used to make a crown for the king. He said, "I'll get the dog. The dog will take care of himself. Dogs are created to be able to take care of themselves. They don't have to have something to be finest, and they find a way around. They pick up a couple things in the garbage, etc. My inyan in this world is to make a crown for the king." So he takes this money and he buys a crown for the king. So in fact, he is ignoring the command of the king. And the king, that's what's interesting here, is the king told him to be mefanis the caliph. The king told him, here's the money for taking care of the dog. And he spent the money on making a crown for the king. That's the first guy, the Chacham. Beis, the second guy, Pirnes v'zon b'doicha k'sakelev shloyomos. Now the second guy did use some of the money. He was very careful with the king's money. He understood that this dog doesn't have to live a life of luxury just because he's over here in the Chatz HaMela. He tried to save the money and to be very, very frugal with the budget. And he gave the dog enough to eat, b'doichak, just shelo yamos, just that it should survive, the dog. That's the second guy. The Baal Shem didn't say whether he was a Chacham or a Tipish, just that's the second guy. The third guy, Gimel, Hishgiach Lazunai Berevach. The third guy took the entire amount and he spent it on the dog. Now, this dog, Mamish, this dog lived it up. It was a nice budget. This dog didn't just have a couple of scrapings in our food. He didn't get dog food. He didn't get like K-ration or something. This dog ate like, you know, sushi. He had kishke, he had kugel, he had a Shabbos. This dog, Mamish had it good. Because the guy, the fellow that was assigned to take care, he took the whole budget and he spent it on this dog. Mistami got the dog a sweater and he used to give him a dog bath. And around the corner from where I buy, right across the street from the shul, around the corner from where we live, there's this place it's like a dog hotel. I don't know if it's 4 stars or 5 stars, I don't know how it works with the dogs, but there's a hotel for dogs because the owners need a little bit of a break. So they send the dog away to some kind of a hotel. I heard on the radio 2-3 years ago that there's also therapists that talk to dogs. You know, I don't know if you know about that. There's such a thing as therapists that try to help dogs. There was a report on CBS. I remember I was driving back from the mountains, Taka, and there was a report from CBS on dog therapists that are talking to dogs. Because there was a dog that was, every time the dog saw a black person, this dog was going crazy barking. And went Meshuggah when it would see a black person. So the owner of the dog was very upset because he felt the dog was a racist. So he brought his dog to a therapist to discuss this with the therapist. I'm not making this up. It's too crazy to make up. I heard this, that they have people that get a panasa talking to dogs, that the dog should feel better. So this dog got delicious food. He got clothing. He got therapy. Whatever a dog could ever want. The third guy spent all the money on the dog. V'aydeze Gira HaMelech HaKelev Bay. And you know what happened at the end of the story? The king sent this dog now is in a good mood, right? This dog is healthy and strong. He got good stuff. The king sent the dog to go and to bite and to attack this third guy. He turned the dog against the guy that was mefarnes him, that gave him all the stuff. In other words, this guy thought he's the most loyal and faithful person. It turns out, I mean, each one didn't know obviously what the other one was doing, but it turned out that I'm the best, I'm the one that loves the king the most. Because I took every single penny that the king gave me, and the king told me I wanted to take care of the dog. And I used the money to take care of the dog, and then the king sends the dog to kill me. He doesn't understand. The first guy didn't spend any of the money on the dog. He made a crown for the king. The second guy gave the dog just enough to live. I gave the dog mamish, royal treatment. He's a royal dog. One of the people sent up a message here that says that the first president not to have a dog is President Trump. I guess he uses the media in place of his dogs. So the third guy is the best of the dog. He should be getting a prize. He should be the biggest oihev. The king should say, "You are the one who truly loves me." But clearly, the king is saying, the first guy that made the crown, he's mamish and oihev. The second guy is a benoni. No. The third guy, he doesn't love me. He loves the dog. He doesn't love me. Let's see what's going on over here. Let's learn a little bit the parish. That they went, the different people were jealous. They went to Masa to the king. They wanted to say these three guys don't really love you. But so the king commanded the three guys in order to test whether they truly love him. So the Chacham made a crown from this money, from the budget. He made a crown for the king. The second guy, he gave the dog, he spent just the amount of money that the dog needed. Not to die. In other words, the second guy is also a shtickle chacham, not like the first guy. The second guy took just the bare minimum to keep his dog alive, and the rest of the money he gave back to the king. He said, "Here, I don't have to spend for this dog $1,000. I spent for the dog $20. He had his $880 back to the treasury of the king. Fine. Well, Adam Ashlishi, the third guy, Hishgiach, Hikbid Vishtal, the third guy, was very, very careful. So and he took what? Lazunai Berevach. He went crazy, and he spent $1,000, and he pampered this dog. The king got angry. What are you wasting the money? You're wasting the money from the malchus on a dog? What's the matter with you? Are you crazy? And the king sent the dog to go attack him. But the one who took all of the money and made a crown, lo yigira by sakelav. He didn't bother him with the dog. After all, the first guy did a very daring thing. I mean, he took the money, it's a lot of money, and that money comes from the oitzvus of the king. The money comes from the royal treasury. and he took that money and he didn't spend it on what he was told. He made a crown. So it was a bit of a move. It was a move. It wasn't so posh at that move. He used all the money, but he used it to make a crown. And the third guy, of course, spent everything on the dog. And he's the one that got into trouble. The Nimshal Muvan. What's the Nimshal? So he brings here that the Kamarna explains this at length in Hechel Brocha on our parasha. So if you have the Hechel Brocha from the Heilige Kamarna, it's in this parasha. This marshal is brought down by the Kamarna in this parasha, Nimchul Kaisa. V'animshal Muvan, and in other places they also talk about the Nimshal. Shukasha Reitzim Milamala Livchen is Ahavasar Shal Adam Lashem. That when a person is being tested to see whether he loves Hashem, the other side is saying, "Nah, this guy, he puts on talis and tefillin, he says brachas, he keeps Shabbos, he doesn't really love you. He doesn't really love you." So when Hashem's testing a person, Shukasha Reitzim Milamala Livchen is Ahavasar Shal Adam Lashem. Let's see how much time, energy, attention this Jew gives to the dog. The dog is the Yetzirah. The dog is the guf. The dog is your physical needs and the Yetzirah and so on. Let's see how much of the budget is spent on the dog, on the hunt. Let's see how much is spent on the dog. There are three mahalchim, three basic mahalchim. Zelamata mizeh, each one lower than the other. Yeish sho'ise minyoni haguf atar lamelech. The highest level is when a person takes his physical impulses, his Yetzirah, and he uses even those things in his life, like the Baal Shem Tov was teaching on all of these Torahs, even those things in his life that are of this world, and he uses his money, he uses kaiches, he uses everything that he has in this physical, in his physical life as a means of what? Of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of giving kavod to Hashem, and of serving Hashem. He uses the budget, not for the dog, not for the body, even though he has the Yetzirah, and he has what he needs to take care of his body, but he takes all of that budget of the koiches, of the money, the time, the koiches of physical things, and he uses it to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to give kavod to Hashem. He makes a crown for the king, Atar Lamelech. Another person takes the same budget and he uses it to fresh more in this world, to indulge in the world, and to pamper himself, to take care of himself. The Chacham uses it to make a crown for the king, to help other people, and so on and so forth, to do good things. That he uses even things of Gashmias, even things from this world, he uses it as a means to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to draw closer to holiness, to attach himself to Kedusha. That's the Chacham. Then you have a person who's not on such a madriga that everything is for Kedusha. It's more, he takes care of himself, but it's bedoichach, just like bare minimum, more bedoichach. And he lives a humble life. He lives a life that's very, very modest in terms of physical things. It's in modesty and with great reserve. And the ikur is that he uses most of his money in his koiches and everything he uses for Kedusha. He uses for Kedusha. So he's a good guy, very good guy. He's in between the Chacham and the Ksil. And then you have another person who uses all of his money and all of his koiches, his heart, his soul, his guf, all of his impulses, everything he has in life, he uses just for himself. He uses the treasure of the king, he uses his life in a selfish, indulgent way. To take care of he just gives the dog. All he does is he takes care of the dog. He just does whatever he wants in this world, whatever he could get from the world, he feeds the dog. That's all. He gives the dog. He takes care of the dog. So the first guy used up all of the money for the crown. The third guy used up all of the money for the dog. The third guy, who his entire mitzvah is just to feed the dog, to feed the typhus and the yetzahara, so the dog ends up biting him. The dog attacks him, which means that person in the end, this world that he invested so much in, ends up being his downfall. It ends up destroying him and eating him up alive. The taivas that he indulged in, the dog that he fed, ends up being the dog that destroys his life. It ends up destroying his life. The taivas ruined his marriage. The taivas ruined his kids. The taivas got him into a place where he's not even healthy. The way that he eats, the way that he stuffs himself has made him into a person that can't breathe. The dog that he was feeding, the dog that he showered with love and attention, the dog that he used the entire budget for, is a dog that ends up biting him. It's a dog that ends up killing him. And he got this budget from the king. Yeah. It comes from the king. Hashem Zohar gives us all of these kaiches. Hashem gives us all the money we have. Hashem gives us everything that we have. But you, this guy, you fed the dog. And guess what? The dog that you fed is your downfall, is going to destroy you. The dog will destroy you. That's the mashal, the nimshal. The dog will destroy you. The first one made a crown for the king. He made his life into a crown, an atar lamelech. What about the dog? The dog, till you die, the dog is alive. There's a yetzahara, whatever it is. The dog is there. The goof is there. But for him, for this person, he wasn't worried about using these karchas and the money and what other resources he has, physical, emotional, he didn't use on the dog. He used on his nisham, not the guf. He used on raising up the crown of the king in this world. And then the dog could actually be man's best friend. That's what they say also about dogs. Man's best friend. Then the dog is taki your best friend. V'ilu etzel harishon shekol avadoso humitar chibur v'yichud makdusha ein hayetzahara mischazek klali dekach. Just the opposite. The Yetzirah is barely able to survive. The Yetzirah is just a weak Yetzirah, like the dog that didn't get all of this fancy stuff. The dog is very weak. The Yetzirah is very, very, very weak. It's not. Look at footnote 5. Go back to page 194. The wise person uses everything in his life to make a crown for the king. The dog drops dead. The dog dies. the Yetzirah. Ben l'shum hana, k'meishom Rabbeinu HaKadosh, as it says in the Gemara, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, was the wealthiest Jew in the world. But he lifted up his 10 fingers and he said, L'neinesim ilam hazeh afilu be'espektan. Even though Rabbeinu HaKadosh was the richest Jew in the world, but he was able to say, he lifted up his hands and he said, I didn't take any physical pleasure from this world. And he lived in a palace and so on, but everything was not Tar Lamelech, was a crown for the king, not for himself. We know from the Gemara that Rabbeinu HaKadosh had a full table. He lived in royalty. He lived like a king. Mamish. Rabbeinu HaKadosh lived like a king. Like the Hilig Arishna, right? Lived like a king. It would tzaddikim like that. And when it comes to physical intimacy, a husband and a wife, there is some pleasure. Because without that, can't have a child. But this chacham who makes a crown for the king, everything is about dveikus and the shechina. Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbi, every single second of his life was all yichudim and kedusha, and how all of that was used for yichudim and kedusha, that's a separate discussion. It was all yichudim and kedusha. And therefore, when he was eating and drinking, and even when he was with his wife, we don't understand an hour medrega, but Rabbeinu HaKadosh was with all kinds of yichudim, like the tzaddikim or Isaac and everything they did in this world. And that pleasure of dveikus b'Hashem is the greatest pleasure that a human being can experience, like the Ramchal says at the beginning of Mishil Shasharim, that the whole tachlis of being in this world is oz tis anagel Hashem. That one's tanug, that one's pleasure, one's anor, should be al Hashem. Through this dveikus, HaKadosh Baruch, oz tis anagel Hashem. And compared to the pleasure that the tzaddik has from these yichudim that he has with Hashem, the pleasures of this world seem to be ridiculous, seem to be silly. They're silly. And then what's revealed is that the dog, Be'emes, is a malach that was sent by Hashem just to test you to see if you love Hashem. The dog's not a bad dog. The dog was sent to just test you. It's a malach of Hashem. The Yetzirah is a malach of Hashem. The Yetzirah is a malach that was sent to test you. Just like in the other mashal, the mashal of the woman that was sent to test the prince and so on. It was just, it's a malach that was sent from the king just to test the person. That's all. It's also a malach. So in the parish, you see the Baruch Shalom gives a Jew an inyan of Shemitah, that there's a time that Kosh Baruch Hu says to disengage a little bit from the kel of the dog. Hashem Baruch said that I want you to take a year off from the dog. And during that year that you have to leave the land alone, you leave your panasa alone, and you try to remember what's the tachlis of being on this earth that Hashem put us. So that when a person goes through that time away, a little bit away from this world, when he returns to the world, he's able to be more busier making crowns for the king. There's no question in my mind that what we're going through right now, even though certainly it involves the pain of people who have been sick and people who have died, there are some who are lo aleinu still in a very serious situation, Yeshev Refuni Yeshua, and also the terrible difficulties of not being able to be in shul and yeshiva and so on. and the difficulties that are facing people with parnasa. But ben kach, Hashem is putting us in a place where we have some pause and rest from the life that we've been in. The good things and the bad things, but the life that we've been running in, like Mishugai. Like I once told you that I heard from somebody that they have an expression that this world that we're living in is a rat race. And I heard from somebody who once said that even if you win, you're still a rat. So even if you win, you're still a rat. So Hashem gave us some time to try to get out of the rat race. It involves painful things because this is a world of Bechira and Hastapanu. But let's try to be one of the Chachamim of the King and to use this as a way to make crown, to make crowns in our lives to serve Hashem. Not to be depressed, not to krechs, not to complain, not to say, if I'd be God, I wouldn't do this. But instead to use this as an opportunity to make crowns for the King. And that's Chus Bez Hashem. Each one of us will be zeichet to see the crown being worn on the head of David Malka Mashiach. Luglash of Amitis, Mehavi Amenu Amen V'Amen. Each and every one of you should have a lechtig in Shabbos. Simcha, Nachas, and Brocha. We should hear Refuz, Yeshuas, Nechomis, Bekarv Mamish. Lechtig in Shabbos.
Shabbos, Rabbi.
Good Shabbos, Rabbi.
Thank you so much. Thank you.